Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to All About Entrepreneurs. Well, we're excited that you decided to tune in to the show today. Heard every weekday morning at 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Well, we want you to sit back, get that pen and pencil out, get ready to take lots of notes, get ready to go to another level in your life. Because it's all about entrepreneurs. We have exciting guests who will come and teach you the strategies, the tips, and the tools for you to be a successful entrepreneur. Well, we hope that you enjoy the show. And don't forget, invite a friend. The show is going to be awesome. And now, your host, Coach Lalisa J. Williams.
Good morning, and welcome back to the show for the last day of the show for the week. This is Friday, and you are listening to All About Entrepreneurs. Well, thank you for tuning in today. Remember, we were initially going to talk about how to get out of a rut. Many people in this season can get into a rut, whether it be from debt, whether it be from overwhelm. There are many reasons that people can get into a rut. It could be from some devastating situations and circumstances that may have come your way for some people around the holidays. Lots of things kind of happen one right after another, and before you know it, boom, there you are and stuck in a rut. And then that's what we were going to talk about today. And then I went to a very phenomenal event on yesterday and met a very dynamic person that I thought would be awesome to, and I want this person, I want you to meet this person. I want you to hear straight from the horse's mouth what is looming for you if you are a minority-owned business and you wanted to take part in the contracting business where there are literally millions and millions of dollars. And so this is an area that we have to tackle. We can no longer, you know, just be that, let it be that elephant in the room that we feel so overwhelmed. We cannot handle it. And so we're going to be bringing these people on to the broadcast to help you because, let's face it, the money is there. You have the service, you have the skills, you have the business. What's missing? What's missing? And like I heard a couple of speakers say at some previous workshops, one of the persons spoke at our initial Women Leaders and Entrepreneurs event that happens in August. This will be the third year. But one of the persons who spoke at the first one 2 years ago, she said that most small business owners could get these subcontracts, if not the contract. You can at least get the subcontract or the subcontract and still come out on top. So we're going after our first $1 million contract this year, and we're going to do everything that we can to get positioned to land that contract. So if you are tuning into the show today, that's what our topic is about, these minority contracts that are out there, and how do you get them? How do you get them? How do you get yourself positioned? How do you get yourself ready to get those contracts? I mean, for decades now, it has been unfair that minorities have not gotten their share, even though it has been appropriated and it has been spelled out by law that so much of these contracts would go to minority-owned businesses. But here's the thing. If we're not in place and in position to get the contract, it doesn't matter what the law states. The law could state, I think it may state that we are supposed to get some percentage, 25 or somewhere in that neighborhood, but we can't get 5% if we're not ready, if we're not positioned, if we don't have the capacity to handle $1 million. You know, people think, well, I wish I could be a millionaire, but can our businesses handle $1 million contracts? And that's why we need to stop hating on each other and being jealous and envious of one another and not understanding each other and begin to work together. Because like I told my sister, if we work together and we get that contract, that means we get $500,000 apiece. We haven't committed a crime. We haven't done any burglary. We haven't, you know, robbed a bank. We're doing something legit, okay? And this can work. It's going to work. It's going to work this year. That's what we're doing. So if you tuned in to All About Entrepreneurs, if you're listening, if you want a partner, because, I mean, let's face it, we're over the nickel and diming. We're over that. We're so over that. And now it's time to come on up a little higher. Now it's time to take all this knowledge and energy that we have and transform it. So if you want to be a part of a team that wants to do that, so my guest, I just met the person yesterday. Well, put it like this, God just put us together yesterday. And I was going to bring him onto the broadcast, and so we could have conversations and we could talk about what he does. I mean, this show is almost like a mastermind group without me calling it a mastermind group. And so I have records of the people who, you know, basically when you call into the show or what have you, and I know who's calling in, I know who's watching, I know who's listening, I know who's following. So as we move forward in this endeavor, we will definitely be reaching out to those people who have been following. And look at that. My guest just popped on the air. So you see, sometimes you just have to talk long enough and your guest will be here. So good morning. And welcome to the broadcast this morning.
Thank you.
Oh, no, thank you. And so I was just giving a little overview about, I was actually talking about the fact that there are this notion of contracts out there for minorities, minority contractors. So let me just, you know, introduce you two people. And what I want you to do for me is you might want to put your phone on mute until I ask you, because there's a little feedback, and I just kind of want the show is being recorded, so people can actually go back and listen if they're not tuned in. So I'm getting a little bit of feedback. If you don't know how to put your phone on mute, don't worry about it.
Okay, I don't know.
A lot of people don't, because if you put it on, I'm afraid you might not be able to get it back off, so don't worry about it. But everyone, I just want you to know who I'm talking to or who you're listening to. I have with me on the line, he is the president of the National Association of Minority Contractors. So what I believe is that having my guest on today is going to take your business to a whole new level. And for those of you who don't know what the National Association of Minority Contractors is, that right there is the reason why you want to be tuned into the show. So he's done some phenomenal things. Like I said, I just met him yesterday. He is the CEO, founder, and president of Gilberry & Associates, Inc. And he's doing phenomenal things around the country and around the world, making serious impacts on people's lives. And he's just unbelievable. So without further ado, I'm going to introduce him to you and ask him to join us in discussion. And we are going to learn some important information about business, entrepreneurship, contracting, and just how to turn your life from what one of the things that, you know, amazed me about this person is that he told me that he went from $0 to like $5 million in 1 year, legitimately, legally. People, you want to hear his story. So without further ado, I want to introduce to you Mr. Gil Berry. Mr. Gil Berry, welcome to All About Entrepreneurs.
Thank you for having me, and it's truly a pleasure and an honor to be on today. Yes, as
excited to have you.
Thank you so much. Yes, as we talked yesterday, I started a company in 1984, and I was just a humble roof repairman. I really wasn't even a contractor. Most of my clients came from the church that I went to, a little small church called Hopewell Baptist. And I decided from that little town, I came from a little country town called Jeanette, Pennsylvania. And I decided to go to Pittsburgh to find out how the major minority contractors were making a living there in the city of Pittsburgh. And I just thought it would be more aggressive. And I joined a small minority group called the United Minority Contractors Association. It cost me $250. And after several weeks of being there, I got frustrated and realized that they really didn't have an idea on how we could get to the next level. So I actually did some research and decided that I would go to the city of Pittsburgh and find out how many contracts and opportunities went to people of color. And I went to the controller's office, asked him, could he tell me what was the percentage that contracts that minorities got, and they didn't have that information on record. But he was nice enough to tell me that he would get back to me with the information, just give him a couple weeks, and he would let me know when the information was available, and I would be able to come in and sit with him and talk about the opportunities. Well, that did take place several weeks later, and the sad story was when I went there, he came in with his head bowed and told me that less than 1% of the contracts went to minorities. And out of that 1%, basically the 1% was made up of really, it was white female. Excuse me. And so I went on to write a letter to the mayor. She was a female mayor. Her name was Sophie Maslow, to kind of just vent in frustration, but nothing negative in the letter, and just said I followed her career, and she was a committee woman and worked her way up hard to be a councilwoman. And then with her untimely death, she became president of council, and then she became our mayor because our mayor died at an early age of Legionnaire disease. And her staff, after reading the letter, invited me in, and I sat with them for about 2 hours, and she asked me, would I write her executive order to start a minority and women programs in the city of Pittsburgh. And that venture led me from one opportunity to another. Now in the city of Pittsburgh, it's mandatory that 25% of every contract goes to minorities. At that time, we made up 33% of the population, African Americans. We were taxpayers, 33% of the population. But in 1991, when this took place, 8% African American were unemployed. So that's how the 25% out of the 33 came to be. We were 25% of taxpayers. So from that point on, my life changed, and I changed the lives of a lot of other African Americans. We made a lot of millionaires in the city of Pittsburgh. I have a friend named Bob Abaday who went from no contracts. He now has a Learjet and probably did about $120 million last year. He was one of the success stories that came out of the program that I created. And from that point on, I just worked and got more involved. I then started my own contractors association. At that time, it was called the Black Contractors Association. We made major movements. I wrote other programs for, at that time, it was Mellon Bank. I stepped up because I wanted to know what our mayor did with taxpayer dollars. At that time, the city of Pittsburgh received $300 million of taxpayer dollars. And I asked her a question one day. I said, what do you do with all that money? She said, I put it into five major banks. And I told her that I wanted to meet with all five of the chairmen of the banks. And she set that meeting up. And what came out of that meeting was I told those five bankers, I said, African Americans do not get loans from your bank, but our taxpayer dollars go into your five major banks. I need one of you guys to step up and let's talk about how we can make opportunities. Here the city is now saying that 25% of every contract will now go to people of color. And now we still can't come into your doors and get any loans or any opportunities. And I said, here today, the mayor has promised me that the bank that steps up, if PNC or Pittsburgh National, you are getting $45 million of the $300 million in taxpayer dollars, the mayor has promised me the bank that steps up, she will put more taxpayer dollars in that bank the following year based on banks giving loans to African Americans. And so Mellon Bank asked me to come speak with them. I rewrote their loan program for African Americans in the city of Pittsburgh, and they went from $55 million in deposits that next year to $75 million. That's how we started getting loans for construction. But over the years, I dissolved the Black Contractors, and I was asked by the National Association of Minority Contractors to start a chapter in the city of Pittsburgh. If you research it, you'll find out that the National is in 48 states and four countries. It's the oldest National Minority Contractors Association in the world. And with that association, the national support, I then galvanized some of the largest contracts for my members in the country. I was so successful in getting contracts for minorities that the National made me the director of all northeastern United States. And at one time, I was actually the director over New Jersey, New York, Connecticut, Delaware. The list just went on. And I was able to obtain contracts. What I found out about being here in New Jersey, though, is New Jersey really doesn't truly recognize minority contractors. So what I have done and how I have positioned myself is that I'm also what we call a Section 3 business. It's a HUD Section 3 business. And any listener out there, please, if nothing else I have said today, please look into how to become a HUD Section 3 business. Now, let me tell you why. When the hurricane hit, Sandy hit, and you were devastated, and so was New York, HUD put close to $50 million in a budget to send to New York and to New Jersey. So what does that mean, being a Section 3 business? A Section 3 business is mandatory since 1968 that any dollars from HUD, That's the Housing Authority, community block grant dollars, but the storm dollars that just got here in New Jersey are HUD dollars. That means that 10% of the dollar amount for construction must go to Section 3 contractors. So right now, the 30-some million dollars that New Jersey is going to get, $3 billion of that, those dollars are supposed to go to Section 3 businesses or to residents who live in public housing. Residents who live in public housing can qualify for these dollars. The program is called Section 3, and if you are go onto the computer and you want to look it up, you go to Section 3 of the HUD guidelines, and the numbers that will get you to what I just told you is called CFR, C as in Charlie, F as in Frank, R as in Robert, CFR 24, number 24, and then dash 135.5. That'll tell you about what your rights are. That'll tell you about how to get certified to be a Section 3 business. And so what my business is, it is a certified Section 3 business that not only do I do general contracting with that, I also sell building materials. I have an international joint venture with Home Depot. Everywhere there's a disaster in the world, I go with Home Depot, and I'm entitled to sell 10% of the disaster materials when I get to a disaster area. So probably in New Jersey, I'll probably sell about $100 million in just building materials to families that are rebuilding. So what we have to do is, we have to find the opportunities. We have to find the niches. I have made a living finding niches. Find out what your rights are. See, they're not going to tell you you're entitled to these dollars. And since I've been in New Jersey, I had to fight for Section 3 businesses with the Housing Authority, with the governor's office. I have literally sat with the governor's people and educated them because I told them if they did not abide by Section 3, this is not state money, Mr. Christie. This is federal money that came into your community to help rebuild a community that was devastated by all your people, not some of your people. And so what happens is these federal dollars are earmarked for Section 3 and resident owned businesses and residents of public housing. 30% of the workforce of this disaster are supposed to be people of public housing working on these projects, cleanup, construction. 30%.
It's so where is the money? So where is all this money going? I mean, you're telling us there's some new information for a lot of people. We haven't heard about it. I haven't heard about it. And I'm connected to every media out here. So you're the first person that I've seen some postings about the Hurricane Sandy and things of that nature, but not like you're bringing it. So where is this money?
Well, where is it? It's in the pockets. Right now, it's in the pockets of friends of people in high places. This is the best kept secret. But let me just tell you the good news. The gentleman who is in charge of the funds for the rebuild of the houses, and I don't know if your listeners know, they were entitled. Anybody who was affected from the storm was entitled to a $150,000 grant. Now, a grant is something that you don't pay back. And that grant allowed you to repair your house if it was damaged. Literally, if it got totally destroyed, if you wanted to build a smaller house for $150,000, if you needed to raise your house so you won't be affected no more from the flood, and to meet other state requirements, they gave you a $150,000 grant. You had to qualify, fill out forms, and things like that. Now, let me just tell you where the money is. Right now, there's an African-American attorney. He's also a commissioner. He used to be a deputy for Mr. Christie when he was your attorney general. He's in Trenton. His name is Constable III. He is in charge of community affairs for the governor. He's also in charge, and he's sitting on right now, close to $600 to $1 billion right now that he's not released yet, but he's going to be releasing it. That's why this is important. So your listeners and anyone out there needs to contact Mr. Constable. He is over in Trenton in the Department of Community Affairs Disaster for Governor Christie. He is sitting on almost $1 billion. And he just received another $1.3 billion, so there's probably about $2 billion getting ready to be released probably in the next 60 days. So you still have time to people out there who were affected by the storm, people out there who want to get involved, residents who live in public housing need to talk about how they're not getting any opportunities. And so I have sat with them and told them that what needs to happen, and they promised me they're going to set this up. That's why it's very important that you conversation or need to get on the list, is that Section 3 is not being utilized here in New Jersey. Let me just tell you why they want to get this right. When Hurricane Charley hit in Florida many years ago, Florida got $17 million, that's all, $17 million. And so what happened was they did not follow Section 3. Minorities didn't get anything, again. And so what happened was the feds reviewed their forms, because there's a form that is supposed to be filled out and sent back to HUD about participation. The form is called 6002. 6002. That form is when any of these prime contractors do work and do not hire any minorities, they have to give a reason why they didn't and send this form in. Well, Hurricane Charley hit and Florida did not follow the rules and regulations. $17 million. Well, the government came in, Inspector General's office from Homeland Security, and after reviewing, fined Florida $4.1 million they had to pay back. Now, you're getting $30-some billion. Think if the government does, if New Jersey does not follow Section 3 guidelines and rules from HUD, your state will probably, and it will be people of color, have to pay back probably about $3 billion. So what needs to happen is, I sat with the governor's people and said, Yen's got to get this right, because what's going to happen is Yen's are going to spend this money. People of color did not participate. You won't be able to justify to HUD that you didn't follow the rules, and the taxpayers are going to have to be fined the state of New Jersey a large fine, and people of color are going to have to pay that money back even though they didn't. We're not recipients of the money, but all taxpayers are going to have to pay that money back. So I have put them on the radar screen that they are not following the rules and regulations. I have asked them. Wow. They said, Mr. Berry, what do you suggest? I was at a round table with them on December 18th at Constable's Boardroom down there in Trenton at the Department of Community Affairs. I asked them to set up a meet and greet and to facilitate it to where people of color, contractors, can come in and meet the prime contractors where I wanted the governor's office to lay out that Section 3, like it states in the federal rules, is mandatory. It's not a good faith goal that you hear sometimes. Oh, we want to reach a good faith goal. It's not good faith. It's mandatory. This program is mandatory that 10% of those dollars must be spent with people of color and residents who live in public housing. And so it's not a good faith effort. But see, no one here is, I'm like the Long Ranger. I'm kind of fighting this battle by myself. And but I need help because
I was going to say, you just got some help.
Okay. This is a battle you can't afford to lose, where you're not going to get, these people of color are not going to get this opportunity at no time soon again. And so anything that I can do, you have my number. Feel free to give it to your listeners, or you know, I'm willing to help or lead the charge. But one person leading the charge is you know, you need an army when you're dealing with these kind of dollars, because they really don't want them in our pocket. It's very obvious they don't want them in our pocket. So unless our voice is heard, unless our voice is heard,
that's
you're not
right.
going to get in our pocket.
That's right. Wow. Well, we're almost down to the last few seconds of the show, and it's just a half-hour broadcast. Wow. Oh, my God. This is very important information. I know you got so many other stories you could tell us, and we're definitely going to set you up and have you come on, you know, for some subsequent shows. I'm not sure how long you're going to be in the area, or if this is your, you know, permanent area or temporary area for now. I know you're very busy with what all you're doing. I mean, I got a ton of questions that won't get answered this morning because there's just not enough time. Going back to how in the world did you ever come to be able to write an executive order for a city such as Pittsburgh? That is mind-blowing, how you got an opportunity to even meet that city mayor, the fact that you held a meeting with the heads of the five biggest banks. I mean, I just got so many tons of questions. The message to our young people who are out here trying to make their way, businesses that have been hit by Hurricane Sandy, property, people's homes. People are, oh, my God, this is just, you know, so many. I've got a ton of questions, and like I said, we don't have time because the way this radio show, it only lasts for 30 minutes plus maybe 10 minutes if we're lucky. But I just want to put you on notice that I do have a lot of questions. The things that you have said is real and it's important. The example that you gave of Florida, I'm not going to forget that. I'm already on this site with Mr. Constable, so I'm getting that information with the Department of Community Affairs. And everything you have said is absolutely correct. You are a phenomenal person just having met you yesterday. You and your team members and your vice president, and God bless her, Miss Christina as well, and Mr. John, like John the Baptist. They were with you, and you so graciously and humbly agreed to come on. You don't know me. You just met me yesterday. I told you about this broadcast and the people that tune in. You said, yes, you would come, and you're here. And so, I mean, people, we got to realize that this Mr. Gil Berry is the real deal, Holyfield, and he is here to really help us. I have gone to so many meetings with the Small Business Administration for minority contracting and others, and I don't have one yet. So that right there tells you a lot, right?
Yes. Yes.
Yes, I've been going. I have an MBA. I teach at two county colleges. So this isn't new to me, okay? But you are bringing some peace that people like myself, and I work with entrepreneurs all over the country, but all over New Jersey, and no one is talking like you. And when we wanted to bring somebody, when we wanted to talk about government contracting, at one of our women's conferences. We had to get a woman all the way from Maryland to come. And she came without charge, and she spoke at our conference because she's, you know, so I'm just letting you know that I believe that this is the right time for us to be talking with you. We're definitely going to meet. I so appreciate God bringing you into our circle, so I can't thank God enough. I know part of your story, just a part, but if you want to, you know, you have about 5 good minutes, if that. If there's anything else you want to share, if you know, if you, and we'll have to show up with that.
Well, I just would like to say that our meeting yesterday was a meeting from God, and I truly found that you were a child of God. And I just want to let the listeners know that when I tell you that I have had a lot of success, it's because I have spent a lot of time on my knees asking God to give me the ability. I used to ask God, God, give me this contract or help me get this contract. Well, over the last 10 years of my life, I have asked God, I have prayed for wisdom that he had given Solomon, because with wisdom, you can conquer these opportunities. And God, I have to say, has given me a lot of wisdom to help people like myself who was just looking for a leg up, not a handout, a leg up. Give me the education, give me the wisdom where I could sit and decipher these contracts, be able to help people that might not understand how to get to the next level, do some hand-holding, and God has given me that ability. And I just want to thank him and give him all the credit. You know, I came from humble beginnings, had a good family, got lost along the way many times. But God had this mission that I'm fighting right now. The days that I have put in has prepared me for this mission that I'm on right here in New Jersey. And I'm not just saying that because I have come here thinking that the people from New Jersey knew about these opportunities. I would be able to rally troops. Troops would be able to, I'd have people fighting and leading it. But, you know, when God got something for you to do, and you just got to do it. And if it's just you by yourself until he sends you some intercessors, that's what you got to do. So all I ask is, you know, if it ain't going right today, just stay faithful, because you know what? The good news is God is still on the throne. Thank you.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, I'm excited. I'm excited, and I will definitely be speaking with you, you know, later and getting that meeting together. I have a team of people who I definitely want you to meet, and these are individuals who I think will really benefit from your tutelage, from your training, from your mentoring. I'm just overwhelmed right now because knowing all that you do and seeing you, you know, throughout the internet and what you're doing with the Minority Association of the National Association of Minority Contractors, what you're doing here in New Jersey, what I know about New Jersey and what's happening, it just is just the best thing that could happen to us for 2014. So I want everyone that is interested, I'm going to be letting people know through my social networks that we are going to be having a session where I will invite you to come. There are some people who I know are ready, and some need to get ready with their paperwork. That's one of the biggest issues. But like you said, God will give us the wisdom, and he's already given us the partners. So we just ask that he bless you even more. I heard that someone once said, the more you make happen for others, God will make happen for you.
Yes. Yes.
So that's in the Bible. I know it. I read it.
One more thing. While you're filling out the paperwork, don't get alarmed. If you're filling out paperwork and you're an entrepreneur, because I have my certification, I can partner with other businesses. While you are getting your paperwork together, I can bring you along with me And that way,
everybody
can benefit while you're getting established. So don't get discouraged because, I got to fill this paperwork out. I don't know how long this is going to take.
Know.
It don't matter. It don't matter.
Yay! Yay! You know what I told you yesterday, right?
Amen.
It's amen. Listen, amen. And it's that's what, you know what? And see, okay, well, I'll be calling you later, so I know you got to go and do what you got
to
do this
feel
morning.
Free to call me back or when you get a chance. I'll be around.
Oh, believe
okay,
me, you.
Not a problem.
Bless you.
Not a problem.
God bless you. Awesome. Thank you so much. And we all thank you for tuning in to the show this morning. This has been amazing. For those of you who missed it, you can go back and listen to the archives. And we'll have a great, wonderful weekend. I know I will. And we'll see you back on Monday, same time, same place. Thank you so much, Mr. Gil Berry.
You're welcome.
For being
anytime,
on the
dear.
Show today.
Anytime.
God bless. God bless.
God bless you. Bye.
Okay, everyone, that was Mr. Gil Berry right here on All About Entrepreneurs. Connect with me, find out
that's
how
right.
to get
There's
these
no stopping
contracts.
You now. Well, thank you for tuning in to another segment of All About Entrepreneurs. Don't forget, stop by our website, www.blogtalkradio.com/allaboutentrepreneurs. And visit us on the web at www.release-your-power.com. Like our friend page on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at twitterandfacebook.com/CoachLalisa. If you would like to get in touch with one of the entrepreneurs or one of the guests that you've heard on this show, please send us a request on Facebook or on Twitter, or right here on Blog Talk Radio. Well, if you're not an entrepreneur yet, I don't know what you're waiting for. Go out and make it happen. Again, we'll see you tomorrow, same time, same place, for another exciting episode of All About Entrepreneurs. Stay tuned for our conferences, our seminars, and our webinars, where you can get further trained as you develop just what you are and just what you want to do. Again, this has been Coach Lalisa J. Williams. Thank you.